The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. Gil Alexander, Calais Baidlan, producer number 9, so much more than a producer, live from Circa. What's happening, party people?
Nothing much with me. Looking forward to another wonderful football Friday. Big show on tap as usual.
As always, hour number 2 on Fridays, which we have affectionately dubbed Football Fridays. It is going to be the trio, the trinity, the triumvirate.
The trinity.
Got anything else? Nothing?
No.
Chris Felica, the bear from Fox Sports, will talk college football and whatever else he's betting this weekend. Steve Fezzik will join us, with only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest back in the day, always with pearls of wisdom. And remember, this is in-person Fezzik as opposed to Twitter Fezzik, so we get the nice version of Steve Fezzik. If we threw him behind the glass and he tweeted everything, it could get ugly.
Oh, like Rob Moreno? We should have Steve Fezzik do a segment like that.
Yeah, like Rob Moreno. Dr. Bob will close things out at hour number 2, the pioneer Dr. Bob talking college football with us. That's all in hour number 2. Hour number 1, Mark Borchardt on the Major League Baseball postseason. Jason Weingarten will join us. Kelly and I will again go over our NFL bets. Do we also have a, are we sure for week 6?
Oh, I'm pretty sure we do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What does that mean, pretty sure?
And I'm playing off the name again. Not funny jokes to start the show.
Somos seguros? Is that how you say it in Spanish?
Yeah, I think you nailed it.
Or estamos seguros, I believe. What do we?
Sí, muy bien.
Let us begin with Major League Baseball. We'll obviously talk about the game last night as well. Major League Baseball, though, doubleheader yesterday. One done, one continuing. First, the Guardians and the Tigers. We're going to a Game 5, a Scooble game, if you will. Remember, that was always what the Tigers had in their back pocket. Even if they lost yesterday, they will have Tarek Skubal, the presumptive AL Cy Young Award winner, going in Game 5. That will be tomorrow. Because in Game 4, David Fry provided the heroics 2-run shot in the top of the 7th to turn a 3-2 deficit into a 4-3 lead for the Guardians. And then in his next at-bat, after the 2-run shot, a safety squeeze for the insurance run, which they would need. And the Guardians hold on 5-4 over the Tigers. We're going to a Game 5 again at Skubal against TBD, Kelly. TBD.
Got
to
watch out. He's got good stuff, TBD.
Tomorrow in Game 5. Tonight, of course, Game 5 between the Padres and the Dodgers. It is going to be Yu Darvish going for the Padres against Yoshinobu Yamamoto for the Dodgers. Dodgers are a minus 142 favorite in this winner take all. And by winner take all, I mean for the right to take on the New York Metropolitans in the National League Championship Series. That will begin on Sunday. So the schedule again is Game 5 Padres-Dodgers tonight. I've got a Padres series bet that's on the line. I've got Padres World Series matchups that are on the line. That's huge for some of us. Tomorrow, Game 5 between the Tigers and the Guardians back in Cleveland, but Skubal on the hill for the Tigers. And then on Sunday, Game 1 of the NLCS, the Mets will either be at the Dodgers or the Padres. And then Tuesday, Game 2 of the NLCS and Game 1 of the ALCS, which will be at Yankee Stadium. Either the Guardians or the Tigers will be traveling there. That's the baseball schedule right now. Speaking of the Yankees, that was the other game yesterday. I had a Royals series bet that went down by the wayside, a plus 180. The Royals end their season really with a whimper. Garrett Cole was spectacular, 7 innings strong, gave up 1 earned run on 6 hits, 4 Ks against 0 free passes. The Yankees bullpen now, a streak of 15 2/3 innings of scoreless ball. And the Royals kind of, this is sort of the story with the Royals this year. It all looked good on paper, but it was kind of a paper tiger. They never really could put it together. I kind of experienced that with my, was it July that I had the Royals in the monthly?
Yep.
It's all there. It just doesn't come together. And then Bobby Witt Jr., their superstar in this series, ends up 2 of 17.
Ooh. Yikes.
And so the Yankees and the Mets are the first participants of the respective championship series, one step closer to a Subway Series.
I am sure Major League Baseball is very upset about this.
That is not a matchup I have, I'll tell you that.
That's all I could think about when I was watching that game last night. I'm like, yeah, they will gladly take the Yankees over the Royals any day. Yankees always.
I got the Padres in this series. I got the Padres in a matchup with both the Guardians and Tigers. So that game tonight is huge for me.
I think I'll ride with you tonight. I think I'm going to bet the game.
Let's go, Padres. Come on. Get it done. NFL last night. Seattle losing at home to San Francisco. The Niners not only win, but cover as well, 36-24. I went over that handicap of that game that I had yesterday maybe three times on the show. Mm-hmm. Right? And I never handicap a game three times in a two-hour span. But I sort of went to the well with it. And one of the big tenets of this was the Niners have been terrible in the red zone on offense. And that those things, while the mainstream media will likely explain it off as well, they don't have Christian McCaffrey. Sure, that's something. I'm not saying it's nothing. It is. But truly what happens with that kind of stuff is it regresses either to the good or to the bad, but it regresses to the mean, generally speaking. When you're a good football team like this who's underperforming, it will more reliably regress to the mean. And it did last night. The Niners, in five red zone trips, put it in the end zone three different times. Didn't the first two. They had to settle for field goals the first couple times.
Yeah.
But they did the last three. And the Niners get it done in a game they had to have if you projected forward for NFC West and NFC in terms of the conference tiebreakers that could have developed. And now the Niners, they right the ship, if you will, now back to 3-3 and get the extra rest heading into week number seven. I just wanted to bring up a few things from this game last night. Let's go to, obviously, a big play in the first half was Purdy to Debo from 76 out to make it 10-0. It was 16-3 at the half because the Seahawks had a sequence at the end of the first half where they had a first and goal at the two and they could not punch it in, could not get it in, so they had to settle for a field goal. So that was 16-3. And then in the third quarter, this is after earlier in the game, LaVisca Chenault had fumbled a kickoff return that led to a Niners field goal. He made amends. This game looked like it was over. It was 23-3 Niners. It looked like a blowout. And Chenault took the kickoff, the ensuing kickoff after the Niners went up with that beautiful pass from Brock Purdy to Kittle in the corner of the end zone. Chenault went 97 yards to the hizzy, 23-10. They then forced a San Francisco punt. Seattle then 13-play, 94-yard drive to get it to 23-17. And then they forced a Niners three and out, and they were getting the football back to try to go ahead in this. But
were you sweating at that point yet?
I wasn't sweating, but I was like, is this really going to happen to the Niners a third time?
I know.
Where they have this huge lead and then they gack it?
Yeah, you were laying 3.5. I had the team total over. I'm sitting there I'm looking at my phone. I guess I was out at dinner, didn't catch some of the second half. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, this is my score update keeps binging. I'm like, just get a touchdown. Need one more touchdown.
But this is the point of the game I wanted to talk to you about, which is, okay, so it's 23-17 now. Again, the Seahawks get the ball back. On the three and out from the Niners, but on that punt, on the ensuing punt, it hits the punt returner in the finger, right? First of all, Niners defender gets pushed into the punt returner, so they picked up that flag. But the Niners then challenge it. They say, hey, wait a minute, not only did you finally get that part of it right, but the ball actually hit the return man. And it goes to review, and somehow it withstands review. And you can clearly see that the football touches the finger of the return man. And so
clearly
it was later explained to us by the official in the booth, Terry McCauley, that New York, where they review this, did not get the enhanced video that Amazon had. They contended, did New York, that they only that Amazon didn't submit the enhanced video, and only once they had rendered their decision on replay did they then show that enhanced footage. So my question is, how can that happen?
Yeah,
because the Niners were getting hosed at that point with that.
Yeah, I mean, what is the NFL? They're not paying for Amazon or something back at the command center. You're like streaming off of illegal Russian streams or something like that to watch games. What's going on back there? I mean, it was obvious. Like you said, it was obvious.
Okay, but so then the Seahawks have all the momentum, but then Geno obliges, right? He throws the pick over the top to Ronaldo Green. Then it's Purdy to Kittle again. Niners go up 12, 29-17. And then Seattle sort of lollygags down the field a little bit. It takes a while, 15 play, 70-yard drive through the two-minute warning, but they do get a touchdown to lock it from nine out on fourth and goal. So 29-24 with 1:44 left. They've got all three timeouts. They kick away, because remember, you got to declare. You got to say, I do declare the onside kick. You can't fake them out with the onside kick. You do declare it. So they didn't do that. So they kick away, which is proper. But then San Francisco, 0-19-yard line, 1:39 left. Guerrero, who's now in for Jordan Mason.
Mm-hmm.
Guerrero goes 76 yards to the Seattle 5. Did he slide or did he get tripped up? We were debating this.
I'll go with tripped up.
I think he was tripped up because if he was sliding, that was the wrong move.
Yeah.
Because you're only up 5 points at that point, and they still have all three of their timeouts. So you don't, and by the way, you have a kicker off the street in Matthew Wright, and you'd only go up 8 even if you get the field goal at that point. So if it was a slide, that was not the way to go. I think he got tripped up. Didn't matter. Kyle Juszczyk in from 6 two plays later. That was Katie Barr the door. 36-24 Niners. Again, the red zone stuff not only regressed to the positive, but that matchup I was talking about between Forsythe, who was in for Fant on the right side of that Seattle offensive line. Nick Bosa didn't get to Geno, but he sure was a hurrying machine of Geno Smith last night.
Yeah, it's tough to watch this Seahawks team just because it feels like they've got all the pieces they need except for an offensive line. And you can't, if you get to these big time games and you got to have Geno throw the ball 50 plus times, like it's not going to end well usually.
Entertaining football game. It is nice when the handicap manifests. Mm-hmm. I will just say that. Those are the nights you live for. Handicapping wise, we'll come back. Baseball with Mark Borchard, what he's betting tonight, what he's betting tomorrow, how he sees the championship series in terms of his line versus the actual. It's a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing Sporttrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. -104 lines instead of the typical -110, instant in-game betting, and a concierge player service. Sporttrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, and Arizona already, and coming to Virginia soon. Download Sporttrade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book, and I love you for it. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Giuseppe Bera. I just finished a 7.5-hour overnight drive home and was able to get completely caught up with ANG for the week. Listening to you and Kelly for 6 straight hours and not getting bored is a testament to how great the show is. Thank you very much, Giuseppe. Then he goes on to say a few things in detail.
Sorry, Giuseppe, I did not pull in the 7 other tweets you had with thoughts on the show. Sorry.
Thank you, Giuseppe. Thank you. That is very, very kind. This is Trip Tepper on the Megapod. Todd and Gil bickering like an old married couple, like an old married couple, makes me laugh out loud weekly. Side note, I went to Pitt UNC last week. Every time Eli Holstein made a big play, I yelled leaflet without any explanation. The entire section we were seated in was totally perplexed. It's classic. I love it. Michael Burns, getting ready to listen to make, oh, this is talking about the Megapod, getting ready to listen to make my night at work go quicker. He said that last night. And this is from right after that, Gil's Guys, who says, glad to listen for my morning commute. Great work, Gilly. Thanks. Talking about the Megapod there. The Beating the Book Megapod. This week's guest, Rufus Peabody. So listen at your leisure this weekend. Apple, by the way, Apple Podcast, Kelly, a little late in getting it out yesterday.
Yeah, some issues there, huh?
A little late.
Yeah, just a little late. How was Rufus? I haven't got a chance to listen yet.
Rufus is good, but Rufus, it was just there's one exchange in the podcast yesterday. I won't spoil it all. But Todd goes on some rant about he's talking about because Rufus likes Dallas. And Todd and Rufus didn't have much to say. And so Todd challenged him. And part of his challenge was, what do you think about Dan Campbell from Applebee's? And he goes on this whole thing. And Rufus is like, yeah, that would be a problem. It's a whole great exchange.
Anyway, great. Another sharp guy on Dallas this week. Sweet.
I really do wonder some of these guys who are so smart or so kind to come on the podcast, if they leave and they're like, that was something. Aaron Schatz famously goes, I have to get used to the rhythm of this podcast.
I think Rufus and Todd, that should be a one-on-one dinner. And we should just have cameras covering that conversation.
Fantastic. Check it out. Beating the Book Megapod. Let's talk some baseball. Mark Borchardt joins us from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. You can follow him on Twitter at BaseWinner, of course, BaseWinner.com. And he does his BetUS baseball show every day except Wednesdays, I believe. How you doing, Mark?
That's right. And then since not having the day off, I go on your show. So that's how dedicated I am to a numbers game. And who is the voice of sports betting, Gil?
I'm not going to answer that.
No, you are the voice of sports betting. I'm dedicated to the guy who is the voice of sports betting. And you do it so well. And I'm serious about that. And if anybody disagrees with me, they're wrong. That's all. That's all there is to it, Gil.
Jeez, I thought you were going to challenge me.
I'm really pumped up about this game tonight, and I'm more pumped up because Reggie's behind the scene, and he said, "Hey, this is Reggie with VSiN," and it just clicked in my brain. 1977 World Series, Reggie. So I've got this October fever in me, Gil. Yeah. I'm pumped up about this game. I think this game's going to be really cool tonight.
Reggie Jackson, famously 3 homers in a game to seal it for the Yankees against the Dodgers in 1977. We have a gentleman behind the scenes with the same name. Happens to be the same guy, Mark. I don't know if you know that. It's Reggie Jackson doing that behind the scenes.
Great director.
I thought you were going to challenge people to a fight a second ago, Mark.
No. I'm just saying they're wrong. You know what? In all seriousness, so you've been around this industry as the voice, in my opinion. Since you were doing the beat, what it was, Betting Dork Podcast.
The Betting Dork. Classic stuff.
Some of those monologues are classic. So anyway.
Thank you, Mark.
Mark, we appreciate you always being ready to come out of the bullpen. That was the you got the quick call and you were right. You were right in there. You were running to the mound.
I have to say,
Kelly, I couldn't resist. This game is so cool tonight. And it doesn't get any better. The Cathedral of Baseball. It'd been 32 years since I went there. I went there in July, and I'm not making this up, guys. I started to cry. I really did. It's such an awesome place to watch a game, Dodger Stadium, and gosh, I can't get to 5 o'clock already when the game starts. I'm ready to go here.
Man, I haven't been there in like 30 years. Probably.
I have never been to a game at Chavez Ravine at Dodger Stadium. It is now. It's hard to believe this. It's the third oldest ballpark in baseball. Wow. Right, Wrigley and Fenway. Or Fenway and Wrigley, I think, if I'm doing the proper order. But then it is Dodger Stadium. Like the fact that the Giants and the Dodgers moved together to the West Coast in the early 50s, right? That is now the third oldest ballpark, Chavez Ravine. I hate that you're wearing a Dodgers shirt, though, because that tells me you're on the Dodgers tonight.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the first 5 Dodgers. I really like Yamamoto. I think Yamo will be there tonight. He got rocked a little bit when he came out on Saturday, but if you look at his velocity, that's looking pretty good. You look at the body of work, last 17 median. I mean, I've got him the number 10 guy in baseball. I think that's why you pay the guy big money, Gil. And I can see this. I'm going to play my official play will be the first 5 Dodgers, but I can see this going first 5 Dodgers. And then the Padres to win the game. And if you want to do that, you can. There's places where you can bet first 5 Dodgers, Padres to win the game at 9-1. I wouldn't hate anybody for making that play, Gil. They would be right if they made that play.
Because you, like me, have some Padres futures, right?
I do. I've got a lot of Padres stuff going on. And I don't know. I'm kind of torn because, you know, growing up a Dodger fan and then having the money, I think I want to see this happen. Maybe that's why I'm making this bet. I want to see the first 5 happen. The numbers indicate that. But the numbers also indicate that San Diego could come back in the late innings, Gil.
What's so interesting about this week is that we thought Jason Weingarten was the Dodger fan. He was completely disavowing that he was a Dodgers fan. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I never knew Mark was. And Mark apparently is the Dodgers fan in all this. Jason coming up coming up on the show.
Trying to find those double result odds. But, man, I stumbled upon Somich's favorite bet again.
Yeah.
Like Dodgers minus 105 to bat, not bat, in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Are you familiar with that market, Mark? What Kelly's referring to, and we give Mike Somich full credit for this, Mike Somich, VSiN host, full credit for this. You have to dig down in DraftKings. It's not easy to find.
No, it's not at all.
But it's there, which is, you know, take a home favorite like this. And I'm not sure if minus 142 is the best pocket, but there is a range where it's awesome, where a favorite where you don't want to lay the juice, you can play them for an unbelievable discount, but the market is won't bat in the ninth, right? So in other words, you're just Xing out a ninth inning win or an extra inning win, if you will. Pretty interesting way to play a game.
That's an interesting bet. I haven't really fooled around with it. But, you know, the people are saying, well, this Dodger bullpen is really looking good, but I don't see it. And this is what their K-minus BB percentage is in the playoffs, 10%. It's only the only team worse in the playoffs than them would be the Kansas City Royals. And then if you look at the Padres, 25.7% strikeout percentage from their bullpen, 6% walk rate, 19.7. That is second best to the Cleveland Indians. So I think that there's some scenarios here where the Dodgers can win first five and then the Padres ultimately get it done, Gil.
Found that price over at DraftKings right now. That is 11-1 you can get Dodgers five and Padres
11-1. There you go. Thank you, sir. Okay, tomorrow we don't have a pitcher for the Guardians yet, but we know it's Tarek Skubal. Do you see any scenario where you play the Guardians in that game?
Yeah, I'm going to play the Guardians tomorrow. I think that mix and match bullpen, and you know, they talked about chaos with the Detroit bullpen, and they've been serviceable. You look at their K-minus BB percentage in the playoffs, this bullpen that they call it chaos. It's fifth out of 12 teams. Cleveland Guardians. After 3 years, I'm getting it down. Most of the time, it's the Guardians. They're number one in baseball by that metric. Skubal's great. There's nothing, you really can't find a chink in Skubal's armor. But I think that Cleveland has a little bit better hitting, and that bullpen is so tremendous, Gil.
All right, Mark, I'm going to ask you to speculate here and give us your best guess at this. Yankees, Guardians, Yankees, Tigers. Those series prices would be?
Well, I can tell you what the Yankees – I have the Yankees at about a 60%. So I'm thinking minus 150, and that's – I'm just kind of looking at my simulations. It could be Detroit. It could be – Cleveland, so it's kind of a merge between it, but I would say minus 150 for the Yankees there, Gil.
In either case, roundabout.
Yeah, probably for me a little bit less if they play the Indians or the Guardians rather than the Tigers.
All right, and then how big of a dog will the Mets be to either the Dodgers or Padres?
I think it's that for me. That should be a close series. I've got the Mets 46%, so a slight underdog, Gil.
Merge the two potential.
Yeah, I think what I have right now I have the Dodgers with a 56% chance to win this game. So it's pretty much half and half with that. Whoever comes in.
I'm probably a little surprised that you have it at 46%. That's interesting to me. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight. Let's go, Padres.
Hey, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun either way.
Except for your first five bet, of course. We'll come back. The NFL, are we sure? And our bets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you this football season. Start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up for a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. Get your first year for only $199. Just use promo code ANG. Get full access to everything we do, including daily best bets, top-rated betting systems, 24/7 video access, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, plus our all-new NBA betting guide, co-authored by the great Kelly Bidlon. Remember to use promo code ANG. That's ANG.
As in a numbers game.
To get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. You were too busy basking in me calling you co-authored by Kelly Bidlon.
Yeah, no, a little bit. I was going to make a comment on it because Zach wrote a great great kind of piece at the beginning of the guide talking about what everybody did and everything. And I did not put in nearly the same level of work as Zach and JVT. So I appreciate you bringing it up. I appreciate Zach bringing it up. But those two deserve all the credit.
You and Adam Burke have been very, very clear about that.
Yeah. I'd like to make sure. I mean, what did Zach just say with us yesterday? You spending 20 hours on a team?
No, he said
20 hours on the Eastern Conference. He typed up.
Yeah, at least 20 hours per person, I think he said, or collectively 20.
That's something what that was. Yeah. I did not spend 20 hours, I can tell you that much.
Zach also said, if you don't like the guide, it's not his fault. If you do love it, it's all him.
That was a good line. That was a good line.
We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Shooter McGamblin. Purdy's MVP odds went from 14-1 to 18-1. After what I thought was a solid performance in primetime, do I add to my position? Or will the voters never give credit to a seventh-round pick on a stacked team? I don't think that seventh-round thing is a thing anymore, Shooter. I really don't, you know? I think it might have been a thing last year, but I think we're over that. Yeah. Most people are over that with Purdy. Like, he's just, he's a top-five quarterback in this league.
This is such a great question, and I say that because now I've got to erase one from Are We Sure? But, yeah, but I caught this as well. I caught this as well. Like, why was there a drift?
No idea. No idea.
After that performance. And I'm thinking about it. You and I each have, what, 15 to 1?
I have 15 to 1.
I mean, there's, I think I saw a 20 in town here. Like, I might be adding. Yeah, I might be adding after the show.
When I got 15 to 1, I thought I was, like, stealing the last 15 in town. It will never be that again. But you're saying it's even longer now.
Yeah.
As is this gentleman. Steve Fezzik, who's coming on later. He's comparing the lineup of guests today on the show, which, by the way, he's a part of.
Can't wait to see where this
he's hyping himself up.
Is he Barry Bonds in this lineup?
He's comparing it to Rose, Griffey, Morgan, Bench, Perez, Foster, Concepcion, and Geronimo in the Reds' big red machine lineup in 75-76, which went 64-16 in the games they all played together. Wow. Once again, he gave that stat last week. 64-16, 80%. Logic 3227, somebody has an Eli Holstein for president sign on their lawn, and he says, I'll settle for the Heisman. I'm with you. Let's see here. Dude, I say there's a lot of these. I don't even know what they mean. You guys got to give me a manual for some of these. This is from Mako. Said books need to start making team rushing yards and team passing yards props. The agony of taking Mason over 100 rushing yards and watching him sideline with 8 yards per carry. The Niners rush for 228 yards. I feel like the handicap was correct, but no market to capitalize.
Yo, I don't know why, but this feels like my golf market that I've been pushing for, right? The any round leader bet.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like these are great tweets. That's a great idea. That's a great market idea.
Best listeners in the game. Xavier 82 said, good morning, fellas. Have an awesome day and show. Hey, thank you. That was very nice.
Thanks, Xavier.
New York Mets 16. Cleveland versus the Mets is not very sexy, but two rookie managers, that would be interesting. Mets have had their success feasting on bullpens against the best bullpen in all of baseball. Yeah, could happen. Could happen. Trip Tepper, in regards to the botched video replay that benefited the Seahawks, the Amazon Global Headquarters is located in, drumroll please, Seattle. Yeah, but the NFL replay office is in New York, so I get you, though.
It's a long way for that signal to travel. Well, okay?
It's got to go back. It's got to go forth.
It's only 2024, okay?
Back is one thing, but forth, that's another. Blue Hen Bill for teaser lovers. Oh, yes, a great point. He said, I had Seattle plus 10.5 after scoring on a 4th-and-goal with 1:44 left, holding 5. I felt pretty good. The life of a teaser lover. Yeah. And then Todd Hoyer, did Kelly just try to sneak by us the fact that he was at dinner somewhere he couldn't watch the game? Surely must have been with one of those three women who have been to his apartment. You guys don't miss a detail on this show.
Seriously.
I love it.
Poppy steak last night. Very good, Fountain Blue.
Where'd you go?
Poppy steak.
Oh, yeah.
The one with the show, because it's got like $1,000 steak. I caught one coming out. Yeah.
Oh, I have not been there.
Cool atmosphere.
Yeah.
Great food. But like, I feel like such an old man in this town sometimes because I'm like, the music's too loud. Like, turn down the music. Like, there's a DJ. Why does there got to be a DJ at every restaurant?
Just give me my steak.
Just give me my steak. I need my steak, my wine. Atmosphere was cool. I don't need a DJ blasting music, though, at dinner. And every
then,
dinner.
And then George Cox says, Bass Winner just drop a Doobie Brothers lyric with Yamo Be There, a Michael McDonald lyric with Yamo Be There? He might have.
He did. I actually caught that one. Yep.
Yeah. Real quick before I'll save it for the next segment, but let's,
was the Paul Rudd line, right? He's like, Yamo burn this place to the ground if I see this, all one more time in 40-year-old virgin.
Great movie, by the way.
So good.
I added an NFL bet.
Yep. Yeah. We should run through ours quick. Yep.
I added, so these are the ones that I already have. I had the Niners last night. I have the Bills on Monday Night Football, given 2 against the Jets. Remember, this is all based on guessing lines with the exception of the one that I'm about to say. I like the Broncos plus the 3 at home against the Chargers. I have no idea why the Chargers are giving 3 on the road against anyone, really, to be honest with you. And I got the Lions giving 3 on the road to the Cowboys. And again, this was the thing with guessing lines this week. I loved 4 short road favorites, which is never a good long-term plan, but that's how the cookie crumbled this week. I added a 5th, and this had a lot to do with the Beating the Book Megapod yesterday. I need a 5th for the contest, and I ended up betting. I bet all the ones that I have on the contest, and those are 4 of mine that I just mentioned. But the 5th is actually going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which is also a team giving three on the road.
Yeah, I did buy it
from the 3.5 to the 3 against the New Orleans Saints. Rufus had this as one of his picks. He's talking about his drop off from Derek Carr to a quarterback like a Spencer Rattler, what Spencer Rattler represents. Obviously, you don't have any NFL sample size to go on, but not a highly drafted quarterback. He has it. I'm not going this far, but he has it at Tampa Bay -6 on the road, which I thought was pretty interesting. But Todd pointed out something from our buddy Adam Chernoff. This is, and I'm sorry I didn't say this on Guessing Lines, my mistake. This is a matchup, I should have been more clever, of a team on extra rest Thursday night to a team with short rest Monday night. So it's a 9 to 5 day rest thing, which is the biggest rest gap you can have in 1 week that doesn't involve a bye, a true bye.
Yeah.
And in those circumstances, the team with the 9 day rest covers at like a 71% rate or something like that. So that's my fifth, and that's my fifth bet as well.
Yeah, I was really interested to see where this was going to that game was going to reopen after Carr was ruled out. It very quickly got to 3.5, so I've kind of avoided it all week. I do like that side, but I just told you pre-show, I know you say about half point, but it's -120 to -120 right behind us too, so I might be joining you.
I think I was -122 or something
I think I think that's a good call. Mine real quick, I'm with you on Lions and Bills. We talked a lot about those yesterday. Falcons laid 5 on the opener and played the over 48 on the opener. So for everybody out there, it's like, hey, 5, that's it's not out there anymore. Well, you can get a better number on the total than I did right now if you want. Browns Eagles then under 44.5 for me.
All right. Ready for some week 6, are we sure?
All right.
Estamos seguros.
Are we sure?
Yeah.
The 49ers will win the NFC West.
We're talking about number one seed or win or go to the Super Bowl.
To win the NFC West.
Oh, to win the NFC West. Yes, I am sure.
Sure. All
right. Yes, I am sure. Because even yesterday, that was the thing again. After they win that game, you're like, they're so loaded.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't even have Christian McCaffrey. If he is coming back, obviously he's there ready to enhance it that much more. So, I mean, Seattle, like you said, they just can't seem to get it all together yet. I said that before the year with the Seahawks. I was like, that McDonald defense will get better as the year goes on. They'll probably sneak into the postseason, but I think the Niners, I'm not worried about the Cardinals or the Rams. I think the Niners are winning this division.
I think Seattle's offensive line just kind of caps them at a certain ceiling that's going to be tough to pass. That was a big game for my futures last night because I did bet at Niners to win the West, then preseason I have Seahawks to make the playoffs and to make the playoffs as a wild card, so that would be nice. Okay, are we sure? Brock Purdy should be 7th in the MVP odds right now.
No, he should be shorter than that. Like, who are the 6 in front of him?
Let me pull it up. Definitely should have had that ready to go.
Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels is shorter than Brock Purdy.
Yeah, you have
Lamar.
Jeez, there are so many tabs. Okay, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, CJ Stroud, Jaden Daniels, Sam Darnold. And then you get to Joe Burrow and Brock Purdy both at 18-1 over at DraftKings.
I mean, how's he the same as Burrow? By the way, the 6 guys in front of him kind of justify too, so I'm not that outraged by it. But Purdy is, I mean, let's let the season play out. He'll be shorter than that.
Are we sure?
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels will win Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Oh, 100,000% unless he gets hurt.
100,000%.
Unless he gets hurt. So wise.
Okay, the bigger one, which I've been trying to avoid this market, but are we sure Sam Darnold should be the favorite to win Comeback Player of the Year?
No, because the language tells us he can't win it. By the way, I see it trending on Twitter. All these Johnny-come-latelys are now coming to the same thing that we talked about some time ago. Imitation. Sincerest form of flattery. Jason Weingarten next.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, still to come on the show, Chris Felica, Steve Fezzik, Dr. Bob. Hour number 2, football. Looking forward to that. Just want to read a couple tweets because I want to talk about something else here. Rick Ollier. Eric Collier is killing me. It took me like two sentences to figure out what was happening here. Can anyone explain how Raphael's MVP odds have gone down? Clearly not a team player. Got kidnapped by the Foot Clan. Voters probably won't like that. Also, what do you think about Casey Jones? Is a longtime MVP, long shot MVP winner. And then I'm like, oh, I see what you're doing. This is about those teenage mutant ninja turtles.
Power
people.
Turtles, yeah.
Yeah.
The Rick, yeah. Your tweet worked out even better than you possibly could have imagined. Gil was sitting here during the break being like, what is he talking about?
Who is Raphael?
Yeah. I think he thought you were screwing up Nadal or something. I don't know what was going on.
Finally, Kelly lost it, so I figured I get it now. And this one for Buddhist Man, who just says about the rhythm of the podcast. Oh, that Aaron Schatz was like, I have to get used to the rhythm of this megapod. Does that refer to before or after Todd begins talking? Always after. That's when people get a little scrambled in the brain. Beating the book Megapod with Rufus Peabody this week. Check it out. Okay. Before we get to Jason, because Jason is standing by, there was, you know, we talked about the football game last night, the Niners and the Seahawks. Congratulations to all Niners backers in that. And then we talked, obviously, about the two baseball games, which, again, they were all happening. At one point, they were all happening at the same time. The end of the Guardians, Tigers, the beginning of the Yankees, Royals, the beginning of the Niners and the Seahawks.
Exactly where you're going.
There was one other sporting event that was better than all of them yesterday. WNBA Finals game number one between the Liberty and the Lynx. The Liberty led this by 15 points with 5 minutes left in the game.
Oh, and I was laying six, Gil. Yep.
Are you serious?
Oh, I was on board. Yep, laying six.
And then the Lynx go on this hellacious run, and they actually take the lead on a four-pointer, three in the foul, and then Breonna Stewart gets to the line with two free throws, one to tie, obviously, two to win. She hits the first, she misses the second, and we're going overtime, you're back in business.
Yeah. It's feeling good then, yeah.
Yeah, not so much.
And then not so much.
Lynx win it. What a game. Lynx win it and take a 1-0 lead in the best of five WNBA finals over the Liberty. The Liberty, big favorites in the series. This will be the last best of five finals in WNBA history. They announced yesterday that moving forward, round one will still be best of three. Round two will still be best of five, but the finals will be best of seven.
I like that.
I do,
okay,
too.
I like that. And I definitely did the responsible betting thing, Gil, of immediately after that game, irrationally betting the Liberty series price, adjusted series price, just out of pure anger.
And a spike bet.
Just out of pure anger.
By the way, I hear those are always the best.
They're always the best. Yeah. You know, when you're in a clear state of mind and not angry about a loss.
Clear state of mind. Sure. I'm sure that'll work out for you. Anyway, that was just amazing that that went down that way.
Yeah, crazy ending.
Ionescu hitting floaters to desperately try to get the Liberty back in overtime.
They shot like 30-something% from the field. I'm fine going back to the Liberty. Let's go. Those two stars are not going to lay an egg like that.
Okay. Jason Weingarten joins us, courtesy of the Progressive guest line, from under a cloud of smoke somewhere in Southern Cali to talk Major League Baseball with us. Look at Jason. Jason's going to get the orders from the mob boss later today and put out a hit on somebody. How you doing, Jason? I like that little hoodie you got going.
Pretty good. It was fun night of sports last night. I was also laying six in that WNBA game. I wasn't watching it. I was following the NBA preseason, which is, again, one of the prime betting spots on the calendar if you pay attention to stuff and all sorts of good stuff. Although I didn't make any money last night, surprisingly.
Wait, Jason, how are you attacking this?
Is I was
this
just going to say, we got to stop right there. What's your angle on that?
Well, there's stuff like, for example, last night, the Oklahoma City Thunder were playing the New Zealand Breakers in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And the Oklahoma City Thunder brought their D team, not their B team, not their C team, their D team. It was tied 60-60 at half. So I did not win the first half money line on the Breakers. I did not win the full game money line on the Breakers either because they lost by 28 points or something. But they played them close in the first half. And, you know, obviously situations like that, you're going to win one of those like every 5-6 years maybe. But, you know, you get a spot where you get the D team in Tulsa. I'm absolutely going to, you know, have my eye on the New Zealand Breakers, whoever they may be.
So the one, like, I don't do a ton of preseason NBA betting, but the one that you like, you'll notice. And if you follow, I think anybody who bets the NBA, you're following a bunch of beat writers on Twitter, right? Yeah. And the problem is you don't have scheduled injury report times like you do during the regular season. So like, Jason, I'm sure you catch this too, but you'll see one team has a slew of injuries and they announce a bunch of guys are going to be out, but then
they're going to play a half.
But then you got to still wait for the other team to come out with the announcement. So it always makes me want to fire, but then you're not sure. So
this is the case with every preseason, right? In every sport, that it really is an information based thing. Of those preseasons, the NBA, the NFL, and of course Cactus League and Grapefruit League in baseball, which is the one you exploit the most religiously? Would you say
spring training, then NFL, but. I saw recently, like yesterday, David Purdom had a thing about people threatening athletes and stuff and college athletes with, after they lose money. Personally, like, if I wanted to improve sports betting, I would outlaw betting on exhibition games before, getting rid of props on college players. But the fact that they even offer betting on stuff like this, it's always going to have my attention because it's always be exploitable because of information.
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. Let's talk baseball today. It is the Padres and the Dodgers game 5 with the right to advance to the NLCS to take on the Mets. That's the prize. It is Darvish against Yamamoto. The Dodgers are -142 favorites. How do you see it?
I bet the Dodgers. I bet them -134. I bet them again, -137. I think it's going to be a good game. I hope I get to catch most of it. I'm trying to decide how I'm going to do it with Yom Kippur starting. Am I going to record it and watch it and stay off Twitter? It's almost impossible to do. So I don't know how I'm going to watch it. But, I think Darvish, there's been a lot of stuff on Yamamoto not being good and not being good in the first inning. I think Darvish is the guy I'm worried about in the first inning here. If you look at his career splits, he's a guy who gets hit early, gets hit often when he does get hit. I think the crowd's going to be an issue tonight. I'm glad I'm not going to be there. But I think in the end, the Dodgers get it done. Should be a good game. I'm firmly in the Dodgers get it done camp tonight.
Just to be clear, you do not do a Homer Simpson in church thing when you're at synagogue tonight. You are not a guy who follows the game while at service.
Funny enough, I would if I could, but... The synagogue I go to, it's like a cell phone dead spot. Always has been. And just phones don't work. So even if I could, I would absolutely be sitting there refreshing. Wouldn't matter. It doesn't work.
It's like the Entourage episode.
Yeah. Okay. And Scooble against the Guardians. We don't have a pitcher yet for the Guardians tomorrow. Just hypothetically, do you think you'll look to bet the Guardians, or you're not getting in front of the Scooble train?
No, I think I'll look to bet the Guardians. I think they get it done. They're the better team at the end of the day. I think I really like to see Guardians-Yankees ALCS much more than a Yankees-Tigers series. Like, trying to wrap my head around what the price would be on the Yankees in a Yankees-Tigers series.
Well, that's where I was going next. What is the potential series, either Yankees-Tigers, Yankees-Guardians, or Mets-Padres, Mets-Dodgers? The one where you're sort of anticipating a series price that you will disagree with the most and will be able to exploit betting wise.
Dodgers Mets, I think.
Because you think that will be shorter. You think that will be shorter on the Dodgers than you would make it.
I hope so. Yeah, I very much hope so. Well,
according to Borchardt,
they got to win. They got to win tonight still. So
they got to win. I'm just saying the hypothetical matchups. I just asked Borchardt what his line would be, and he sort of does a merge of the two potential opponents, so he does it his own way. But he gave the Mets a 46% chance, sort of in a hybrid matchup. I don't know how he does it exactly, which is higher than I would have anticipated, right? So if he's right, then it's a little more muted than I would have imagined on either the Dodgers or Padres.
Probably. I mean, it's probably close. Wouldn't be that much lower, but I really do think tonight's going to be one of the best games of the playoffs and two best teams remaining. If you want to look at it that way.
Have you bet any MVPs in either the championship series or the World Series? Refresh our memory on that.
I have not. I got to keep an eye on those. Maybe I'll get to those on Sunday, but I'm looking forward to those. That's like next on the list.
Okay. Any week 6 bet you like a lot in the NFL? before we run out?
Interested in the Broncos getting 3 points at home against the Chargers, but Chargers are coming off a bye week, so we'll see if the health matters there, if they're getting healthier or anything. But I do like the Broncos here.
I'm with you on that one. Jason, appreciate it. May your fast be a pleasant one, sir.
Thank you. I'll see you guys next week. Good luck on everything this weekend.
You too. Jason Weingarten, everybody, at Spreadopedia. We're not going to talk about the chest hair. We're just going to leave that out of the conversation.
Yeah, watch out for the zipper.
Coming back with Chris Velika on the other side right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.